Dear brethren and sisters, the dark days of January are now past, and I'm sure we're all looking forward to the warmth and sunshine of the spring. Sadly, the dark days of January were dark for many people with the wars and aggression that exists in this dark world of today. And now the many people who have fled from Syria are facing the same agony day by day. As we view what is happening in the Middle East, we recall the words to Ishmael in Genesis 16 concerning those who would grow out of that root of Abraham. He will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. That has remained the descendants, the characteristic of the descendants, through all the ages, even until now, as we experience the conflicts continuing in the Middle East. Just remember that until the early part of the last century, most of the Palestinian Arabs lived Bedouin lives in tents, herding a few flocks of goats. Now they claim the right to Jerusalem, the city of God. The psalm that we read together, the two psalms in fact, are appropriate to our situation. Psalm 79, we read the opening words. O God, the heathen are come into thine inheritance. Thy holy temple have they defiled. They have laid Jerusalem on heaps. Yes, Jerusalem was laid on heaps, not by the Romans, but by the neglect over centuries subsequently. And the application of those words to the situation prevailing during this past century are particularly relevant. His hand will be against every man. And so it is even now, as we move forward, that their hand is against those who claim to be the sons of Jacob. As we move to the 80th psalm, we read verse 6. Again, very telling to the situation in which we find ourselves. Although it refers, of course, to Israel and the past, it has its application to today. Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbours, and our enemies laugh among themselves. How true that is of the people who are struggling to survive in God's land. A strife that has continued through the ages since they crucified their Messiah, and will continue until they finally accept him as their Lord and their King. How true it has been, those words of Zechariah in his 12th chapter, in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. The burden of Jerusalem looms large in any possible settlement of the disturbances, the rage, the agony that is taking place in Israel today, because the sons of Ishmael claim Jerusalem for themselves. But we can be confident of the final outcome. If we read our scriptures, we know that it will not always last. Isaiah treats us to a few words in his 11th chapter, where he predicts the day when they, that is Israel, shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. We have witnessed something of the strength of Israel recently, when they decided to take revenge on Gaza for their firing of so many rockets into Israel. But that is even greater now, because the Americans have passed $1 billion arms to go into the land of Israel, and giving right that Israel can themselves use those enemies when they are in dire need. The land is full of armaments, ready for a final conflict. For the present, those people remain the butt of all nations, unjustly accused of their actions to preserve their existence as a nation in a land that was given to them by the United Nations as it existed then. And they have to face national and international opposition, but sadly, trusting in their own strength to survive. The Psalms we are considering, however, will certainly view the time when the true Israelite will turn to their God for help in the deteriorating conditions. Three times in the 80th Psalm, the writer appeals for God's intervention. Verse 7 reads, "Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved." Then verse 14, "Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts, look down from heaven, and behold and visit this vine." And finally we read in verse 19, where he repeats the appeal, "Turn us again, O Lord of hosts, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved." We can join with feeling into that same appeal, can't we? May the God of all mercy send back his Son soon to complete the work he commenced when he gave himself as an offering upon that cross of shame. There is a fragile peace only at the present time, which we know will be broken yet again by those evil people. But the end will come. So turning aside from the Middle East problem, we find, of course, other problems that need to be solved in this world. And that's the economic and business one. Psalm 80 and verse 17 says, "Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will not we go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name." Never before in the lifetime has the situation been so precarious in the world, so far as the banking systems and personal finances are concerned. They are indeed perilous times, with major banks having gone almost into bankruptcy and having to be bailed out from the national purse. Turmoil in the business world throughout the world. You must have rejoiced in getting so much cheaper petrol and diesel. But it's all the result of the turmoil that's taking place. The big rising dome of China is now in recession. Japan, that was once the most advanced nation after the war, when they stole all our secrets by photographing all our factories, they're in dire straits financially. And we look to Europe. Europe is seriously in trouble financially. And here we are in Britain. Why? The strongest output in the world is this poor little nation of Britain, well ahead of everybody else. Why? Well, when they befriended the Jews last time, they were given a great empire. And now they are trying to take through Parliament measures to stop any anti-Semitism in England. and to make sure that the things that are happening elsewhere don't happen here. The result? Economically, Britain is the strongest nation. God doesn't fail those that turn to him. And although they don't recognize that they're turning to God, they're still essentially a Christian nation. The prophet Isaiah in the 24th chapter spoke of the world as we see it today. He opens that chapter, the 24th chapter, "Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down." How realistic that is today. Turned upside down. Happily, the chapter ends with the rejoicing refrain, "Then the moon," that's the religious organizations in the world, "shall be confounded, and the sun," which is the political world, "shall be ashamed, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, and before his ancients gloriously." It's a wonderful picture of the supremacy of right in this world that Isaiah has promised through the power of God's word. The world certainly has been turned upside down. At verse 16 in that chapter has many variants by the other translators, but the essence of the message is brought out by Moffat, not one that I'm very much in love with, but I want to quote it. "Bah, I am in misery, in utter misery, for the plunderers plundered on. They are plundering still. Panic and pitfall and snares await you, O dwellers on the earth." That's a wonderful way of bringing that message toward us, isn't it? How well it describes the financial world. But then, of course, we have the scares in the medical world too, don't we? Not long ago, the scare was the rapid increase in AIDS. Not always by the disgusting habits of men or of women, but sometimes by accidental, again becoming involved with becoming touched or having to have bad blood. But now what is it? The Ebola outbreak. Finding very difficult to control, wiping out thousands of people. Yes, the whole world has been turned upside down. Never before have so many people been caused to worry so seriously about the future. We're reminded of Isaiah chapter 10 and his opening word there. "Woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees, and that write grievousness which they have prescribed, to turn aside the needy from judgment, to take away the right from the poor of my people, that widows may be their prey, and that they may rob the fatherless." Yes, it's very much the state of things in the political, financial affairs of today. And the world can no longer support it. It can neither no longer support the population with the facilities that we've got for production of food, and it can no longer support the runaway financial situation. And that uncertainty is felt by so many people in today's economic climate, which is another reason for men fearing the perilous times that Paul said would come before the coming of our Lord. Until now, we might have thought the words of Luke 21 referred to strife amongst nations, terrorism, military coups all over the world. But now we must add the more personal problems that face so many people. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. That's the upper powers, the controlling powers of this world, are being shaken. The powers of the business heavens have never before been so shaken as they are now, and fear and anxiety reach the hearts of everybody as they look to an uncertain future. Once again we are reminded of the psalmist's words, this time Psalm 52 and verse 7. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches, and strengthened himself in his wickedness. Terrible situation, isn't it? But as we look ahead, God willing, in the readings that we follow this week, in the Psalms, we get a clear picture of not only how things are in today's world, but how it will become. In Psalm 82 and at verse 2, we read a challenge to Israel, but now also to the mankind of this whole evil world. Verse 2, how long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy and rid them out of the hand of the wicked. Yeah, that's the world that we are living in. And so we want to return to Psalm 52 again, we quoted previously. For there he writes, the righteous also shall see and fear, and shall laugh at him. Lo, this is the man that made God his strength, made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches, and strengthened himself in his wickedness. But, says the psalmist, but I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God for ever and ever. Whilst we ourselves may not have been touched disastrously by this present situation prevailing, we can see it all around us, and the future is not looking good. We need to pray that we may be like David did, the green olive tree, that we may trust in our God, for he will not forsake the needs of his faithful servants. It is our inestimable privilege in such uncertain times to be able, just like the psalmist has, to look beyond the turmoil of the present and to look for the time when peace, righteousness and justice of the age that will come, when our Lord returns to rid this world of this wicked society and to bring in an age when greed and dishonesty is known no more. It's therefore a great comfort to read in tomorrow's reading from Psalms 81, the juxtaposition of which to the essence of the verses we've read together previously from the Psalms gives us cause for great rejoicing. The psalm opens with a triumph. Psalm 81. Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. I think I've spoken before about how frequently in these later prophecies concerning the time of the end, it's the sons of Jacob that are to be preserved. It doesn't refer to the sons of Abraham. It doesn't refer to the sons of Isaac. For they are amongst the evil of this world also. It's the sons of Jacob. So he says, sing aloud unto God our strength, make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with a psaltery. Now whilst this refers initially to the care that God has exercised in the past toward Israel, it certainly has an application for the future. And it has a comfort beyond possible calculation that we have in heaven an all-merciful and all-powerful Almighty, who is to send his Son back to end this age of world turned upside down and to usher in a real age of peace and blessed prosperity. Psalm 94 says, "The Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance." It may have seemed so at times in the history of the people of Israel, but the day is coming when he will fulfill that promise, and with that he will include those who are also become part of that commonwealth of Israel through Christ Jesus our Lord. However, of course, that promise will remain nothing whilst the world remains in such a perilous state, but we have that assurance of things to come that will change the whole structure of world affairs, and we are privileged to be part of that action. What a change is coming! Jeremiah has predicted for our comfort that, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." The present days are perhaps challenging and worrying ones, but we can be assured of the great change that is very soon to take place in this troubled world. Again, we turn to the psalmist for some joyful help. Psalm 89, verse 13. "Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face." Graphically, the prophet Isaiah sees the end of present governments, be they so-called democratic or dictatorial, for they shall be brought down and vanquished. In his 34th chapter, he wrote, "And all the host of heaven shall be dissolved. The heaven shall be rolled away together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down as the leaf falleth off." The present heavens of ruling bodies will be permanently removed and their power cut off. "For behold," says Isaiah, "the word of the Lord, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come unto mind." That new political heaven will be based upon righteous judgment and will exclude those who exploited the people for their own gain, and will remove the corrupt governments who judged for their own benefits. We join with the psalmist who exulted in the vision of right. He wrote in Psalm 67, "Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth." Let us not despair, therefore. That promise is sure and irrevocable, because it is the promise of our God. For as Peter reminds us, we, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. We may have waited a long time for this day to come, but let us be assured that it will soon be here. Just as the prophet Habakkuk has said, "The vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry."